today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey there, this is Jim Lenihan here on Rockin' the Suburbs. It's day three of a special crossover series with the podcast Setlisting Bruce. If you have not heard parts one and two, go back and listen to those. But if you're all caught up, then you're good to go. We're going to finish the conversation about Bruce Springsteen's Tracks 2. And we're also going to talk a little bit about the album Nebraska and the new movie about the recording of the album Nebraska. All of this with my friend Jesse Jackson, host of Setlisting Bruce. Thank you very much, Jesse, for having me on your show and then for also letting us run that show here. One quick note, this is a part three. There's one part in here where Jesse talks about another podcast that he does. It is called Perfectly Good Podcast, in which he and his co-host talk about the music of John Hiatt. So that's another one you can check out. Perfectly Good Podcast. Love some John Hiatt. Absolutely. All right. And with that, let's get into part three of my conversation with Jesse Jackson. Thanks.
And then the last two you had here, I'll just say One False Move didn't really move me one way or the other. Just kind of a sparse song, and I didn't really get much out of it. I don't know. Why did you pick that one? What do you think about that one?
Inyo was recorded also during Ghost of Tom Joad, and they're all set in Southern California, Texas, and they very much have a Ghost of Tom Joad feel. I was lucky enough, Laura, who's been on the podcast a couple of times, said, my dad and I want to talk about Inyo. I said, okay, so we got on. Turns out her dad is a history professor specializing in Southwest history. So he went on and on about how these are about water wars and all this stuff in Southern California. But this had this Spanish feel to it. So it's the one I'm least drawn to, but then I'm not necessarily a fan of Ghost of Tom Joad. I'd like it, but it isn't my Bruce. So I just wanted to give you a taste of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I think I'd have to go back and maybe hear that whole album.
Yeah, I think
disc, it might make more sense then.
I'm bringing in their cocaine across Texas-Mexico line. They don't like what I was doing, but I didn't lose no sleep at night. Running off an old debt, and I'd take some time and find some place far away. Heaven to hell, my friends, just a show jump in the stakes. False moves all it takes. On the streets of South Texas, I made my straight time, working nights and pissing in a cup for my man down on the state. I rolled down the window and let in a cool, clear desert night. That cold feeling of my luck running out. You get just so much dry ground for the war rushes over the breeze and false moves out it takes.
You know, one of the things Sylvan and I do, we're doing that John Hiatt, we're going through every John Hiatt song in alphabetical order, is, and you guys talk a lot of this in your podcast, when you take a song out of context, some of them lose something because of what they're on. And I think this is one of those where some of these songs work better as, oh, yeah, this is great, as a mixtape, right? And others like, no, this needs to be in the full
right
context. Yeah.
There certainly are albums like that you just can't, you have to appreciate the song in terms of the entire body of work. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a piece of a whole. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Now, I will say I did a little bit of Googling on this last one because I was very intrigued by it. It was Idiot's Delight.
Yeah.
And I was, the sound of it is that kind of rootsy, bluesy kind of sound. It's got that harmonica, got that Hammond organ going. It sounds really cool. But I was, of course, with a title like Idiot's Delight, I felt like I got to listen, really listen to lyrics on this one. There's something going on here. But even listening to the lyrics, it was oblique. I was like, what are they talking about exactly? And so I Googled to see if somebody could give me an interpretation of it. And I found that it was co-written by Joe Grushecki.
Yes.
And he explained it as, it's about the absurdity of the human condition. So
yeah.
So I was like, I figured that out. So I don't know, maybe.
Yeah.
But so I was glad to have that confirmed. But, and boy, there's a lot of absurdity in humans right now.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So Perfect World is what they called the last one. It's from recordings from 94 to 2011. Joe Grushecki also did another Thin Line and I'm Not Sleeping on It. And that is the one that feels the least like a, this feels like just a track. Like I've
got a collection
out. Yeah, here's a whole bunch of outtakes that I've thrown together that, which I think some people might say High Hopes is that way.
True.
It just picked some other things there. Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
So I like this one a lot, especially for the lyrics. Like I really, I really liked, again, the meaning of it, or if that's the right word, but like the sentiment of it, the fact that you have to, the fact that it made me want to understand it better. I appreciate that.
Talked about this, but I'd love for you to talk about a little bit more with the diversity of what I sent you. Any thoughts about just that when you think about this was all done by one guy? Anything you want to share and feel?
Yes, I will say this. I'm a really big Springsteen fan, and
yes.
I am. But also just as a music fan, I really appreciate artists who challenge themselves and who stretch and who do different things and aren't just stuck with some formula or some sound that they have. And I also know that just in having interviewed a lot of musicians, hung out with people like that, that, or just in any creative endeavor, that's a really hard thing to do because partially just artistically, but reality is just like commercially, like that's a hard thing to do because if you find something that people like, you want to give more of that. That's just, you know, how the world works. Anyway, So I love that this is a guy who takes risks. Maybe, like I said, maybe he's going to wait a while to let you hear it, but it seems like he's timed it really right, and like we all want to hear it now. If you look back at like the 90s, which, you know, are considered sort of the Springsteen wilderness years, right?
Yeah.
Where he put out the Lucky Town and Human Touch on the same day, and then the Ghost of Tom Joad, and that was his only official output, really.
Right.
Of original music for a whole decade. Now you get a sense of what he was working on, and the idea that it was so, that he was challenging himself to do different things, and he was trying to find maybe like who he was as a songwriter and as an artist. It's really intriguing. Like, I find that really intriguing now, and I'm so happy that we get to experience it at this point.
Yeah, Jim, he talked about that in the interviews, that as he started promoting this, that it wasn't a lost decade. It was just a decade where I decided not to put things out.
Right.
And it is, I joked with a couple of writers I had on. I said, hey, CK, do you have just a couple of novels sitting on the shelf that you think could be published, but you're holding off? And she goes, no, you know, I just can't. So I just think that's it's a very interesting and showing his diversity as an artist. And I think it's cool that he's putting this out and sharing it with people. So I'm glad you got to sample it and talk a little bit about it.
No, this is great. And I'm probably going to get, there is a single CD you can get.
Yes, there is a single CD. Yeah, like that. Yeah, that kind of, yeah.
I'm probably going to get that first again, okay. Just money-wise. And then
that way you can get
wait
it,
a
yes.
little bit on the box set. But
I understand.
I also want to ask you this while we're talking.
Sure.
Are you excited about the movie that's coming out about the Nebraska Bruce?
Yes, I loved the book. I don't know if you had a chance to read the book, Delivery from Nowhere.
Yet.
I recommend it very strongly. Jim, and this is my go-to story. Warren Zane, who wrote it,
right.
He writes it like it's a mystery text. Okay, Bruce Springsteen had The River, his first true commercial success, because despite what you think, Born to Run and Darkness were not major commercial success, right?
At the time, right?
Yeah. And then he has Born in the USA, where he goes to the outer skywalk. Why did he have to do Nebraska first? Why did he feel like he had to take a step backwards before he could move forward? And mm-hmm. The book explores that thought. And so I think it's going to be good. I've never been someone who had to have Electric Nebraska, but I'm pretty excited we're getting it. Another box set, you know, it's putting out. So I'm very excited for the movie. I like the bear. I think the actor is really good. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it as well. And I think you already said it, basically, is that it fits into this conversation, too, in the sense of that was the first album where he really took a chance.
Yes.
And his listeners went along. They seemed to go along with it. The fans seemed to go along with it. It wasn't a huge commercial success like The River. But it's a beloved album in his catalog, and I think at the time, even at the time, people didn't dismiss it. They were like, they were on board with it. But to that, up until that point, the first five albums, you can see the progression happening. And like you said, that was one where he was like, "I'm good." It's, and I know it happened, not necessarily as planned that way, but still, it was released that way, and was like that was a risk to do that. And I think for the artist, that if you can take a risk at some point, and hopefully early in your career, and your fans accept it, they don't reject it outright, then you have permission for your career to keep taking risks. The people then start to expect that of you, and that's one of how I see Springsteen's overall career.
Yeah, in the book, Warren talks about that when they went to the record company and said, Bruce doesn't want to tour with it, he doesn't really want to do any press. He just wants to put it out there. He doesn't want his face on the album. And he said that it was the first time Bruce was calling Power Record Sales. Like, he was worried people would not buy it, but it just felt like it. And one of the lines is, as the band was playing the music, he said, I felt like I was losing the characters. When the more instruments and the more the band played it, mm-hmm. I felt the characters were going away.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
I find that people who are not big Springsteen fans like Nebraska.
Yes. And it is almost the cliche that if you're too cool for school, that Nebraska is going to be your favorite Springsteen album, right? Yeah. But I told the story, and a lot of people agree with me, is 1977, I discovered the Beach Boys. Endless Summer, it's the greatest thing I've ever heard. I am going to the record store, and they're still out there, but they're not like they used to be. Department stores sold records. And when I was picking up every Beach Boy album, cassette, 8-track I could find, and I got Pet Sounds, and I went, what the hell is this? And what? There's instrumentals? And I wasn't ready for it. And now then, I probably, if you push, that would be my favorite album. And I think a lot of people said, yeah, Nebraska, I wasn't ready for it.
Yeah,
and it wasn't till after a while I realized what he was trying to do.
Let me just tell you something real quick. We were talking earlier about the pandemic, and I was talking about the Friday Night Hootenannies that we did where people would play songs for each other, but even professional musicians were doing like live stream stuff to get to perform for people. And there's this one artist I really like, an Americana artist. Her name is Aoife O'Donovan.
Yes.
And she did a live stream where she did the whole Nebraska album. And you paid some small amount of money, or it wasn't very much, when you could watch the live stream. Yeah. And I did that. And then she released that. She recorded it and released it. And I have that album.
Yeah.
I bought it. And it's a tremendous
I agree.
Album of covers. Yeah. It's really great.
Yeah. She's amazing. And part of a group.
I'm with her.
Yeah.
It's like the kind of quote unquote super group.
I have.
But she does solo material, and then she does that as well.
Yeah. I have tickets to see them this fall.
Oh, great. Great.
Yeah. So I laughed. I bought the tickets for two reasons. One, her cover in Nebraska, and their version of Crossing Muddy Waters.
Nice.
I want to go hear them. The other thing got coming up in a couple of weeks, Melissa Etheridge and the Indigo Girls are coming here.
Oh, wow.
The Dallas Yes We Are tour, and which I think is a great name. And I saw the Indigo Girls right at the beginning when they were really just getting really successful. So I think that'll be a good show.
That's fantastic. Wonderful.
Yeah. What do you got coming up, both on the podcast and music-wise?
Podcast, I mentioned we did our live event called Suburbs Fest in Grand Rapids. And so this week that I'm recording this now, I don't know when this is going to post, but we just did a week of episodes that we recorded at Suburbs Fest, where we had local musicians come up and play three songs each and then do interview with us. Yeah. So that's again, talk about new music. Like you can get on the ground floor with this, because these are not people who are terribly well known outside of the area, although they put stuff up on streaming services and things like that, but some really good musicians, really talented stuff. And so we're doing that right now. Oh, and I'm going to make one more thing, because I'm so happy that this came together. I have an episode coming up that I'm putting together where it's going to be more of like a sort of a narrative, PR-ish kind of style, where I got to go back to my hometown of Toledo, Ohio, because I live in the D.C. suburbs now, back to my hometown of Toledo, Ohio, and experience a band from my youth that reunited.
Oh,
they were like a legendary
fun.
Toledo band, and they reunited for a show. And I got to go and talk to fans of this band who came to the reunion show, talk to the band itself. You'll hear me gushing about the whole experience. The band was called Love by Millions. They were just a local Toledo band that did some originals and a lot of covers, and it was really fun. And the bass player in that band went on to become the bass player for Weezer. And has been their bass player for 24 years, and he came back for this reunion show of his old band. It was really fun. So that's a fun episode. And then you ask about shows I have coming up. I think your listeners might know this guy, maybe. Robbie Fulks is his name. He's an Americana artist, really smart songwriter. I'm sure he's a Springsteen fan. He writes really great stuff. I'm going to see him on on Sunday. And then what else do I have coming up? Oh, the Jayhawks. I'm really excited about
that. Yeah, that'll be good.
That's been one of my favorite bands like forever, and I have not been able to ever see them. And so I'm going to see them at the end of September at a relatively small club. It's like 500 people.
Oh, nice.
So that's going to be great, yeah.
Good. All right, Jim, if someone wants to reach you, how can they and promote the podcast, please?
Yeah, so find the podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts, Rockin' the Suburbs. Or you can go to our website, suburbspod.com. And I'm on like Facebook and Instagram and Blue Sky.
Yes.
But I tell you, I think what's fun is if you find me on, boy, I don't even know what my thing is. I think I'm JLenahan22 on one of those. I'm looking right now. Yeah, JLenahan22 on Instagram. And I am also on Blue Sky at just Jay Lenahan. But the only thing I post on Instagram and Blue Sky are photos of albums I'm listening to.
Oh, nice.
So you can see what I'm listening to every day, and you can scroll back through and you can see all the variety of stuff that I've been listening to. So that's really fun.
I appreciate you, and I also appreciate you always have my back on Facebook as we get into our political discussions. So
I honestly don't want to do a lot of that arguing back and forth because I don't know what it really accomplishes, but I don't like it when people get things wrong.
Yes.
And I don't like it when people attack my friends. Those are the two times when I feel the need to.
Well, I appreciate it, my friend. And yeah, let's stay in touch. And yeah, maybe I can make it next year. Okay.
Yeah, that sounds great, Jesse.
All right. So good. All right. Everyone, be safe, be kind. Check out the podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Goodbye.
All right. And again, thank you very much, Jesse, for having me on your show. And thanks for letting us have your show on our show. This worked out great. All right. Listen to Jesse Jackson on Set Listing Bruce and on Perfectly Good Podcast. Wherever you listen to podcasts, you can find those shows. And please listen to Rockin' the Suburbs every day. This is Jim Lenahan on behalf of Patrick Foster, on behalf of Shadow. Thank you very much for listening, and we will talk to you again tomorrow. Here's a little Aoife O'Donovan with her cover of Nebraska. Thanks.
So standing on the front lawn, just a twirling hoop baton. Me and who went for a ride to from the town of Lincoln, Nebraska, with a sawed-off 410 on my lap, through the badlands of Wyoming, I killed everything in my say that I'm sorry for the things that we've done, at least for a little while. Soon me and Huey had us some fun. Sheriff on the mantelpiece, that's sweet. Snaps my punic back. You make sure my pretty baby.
picking up every Beach Boy album, cassette, 8-track I could find.